I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 6, verses 24 through 34. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet, I tell you, that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thank you, Tammy. I want to talk to you about being anxious. All of us have that at one time or another. Yesterday, for instance, my wife and I had occasion to be anxious. At around 3 o'clock, Marty decided she was going to take a practice nap because it was raining outside and thundering and lightning. So we turned the TV off, turned the computer off, and I got to thinking about it. It seemed like a good idea. I went to take a practice nap too. I hadn't any more than laid down beside her. And all of a sudden there was a wham and light. I thought it was an electric shock from Marty, but she notified me that the power was out. Well, it turned out that our house got hit by lightning. Well, it burned out the satellite TV. It burned out the phones. It burned out a circuit breaker. It burned out a GFI plug in the kitchen. And it zapped my computer. Now, I got anxious. Lord, here it was, the 4th of July. What was I going to do? I needed to have a circuit breaker. But I called, and I found that there was a store open. I came up and got that, went back, repaired the plug, repaired the switch, the circuit breaker, and Margie let me know shortly thereafter we had lights. Now, I got anxious. When I prepared this sermon, I didn't realize that I was going to be anxious again on Saturday, July the 4th. Most of us do get anxious about our lives and the things around us. Anxiety about finances can give rise to coveting and greed and hoarding. Anxiety about succeeding in life at some task can make us irritable and abrupt and surly. Anxiety about relationships can make you withdrawn and indifferent and uncaring about other people. Anxiety about how some people respond to you can make you cover the truth and lie about things. So if anxiety could be conquered, a lot of sins would be overcome. One of the greatest things about Jesus is he does not want our people or his people to be anxious. The main point in today's text is that God does not secure his kingship by cultivating anxiety. On the contrary, the aim of God's kingship is to free us from anxiety. God doesn't need to keep us anxious in order to establish his power and superiority. Instead, he exalts his power and superiority by working to take away anxiety. If you are born again, if you have turned away from sin and are following Jesus as the Lord in obedience and faith, his will for you this morning is that you not be anxious about anything, but that you enjoy the deep serenity and peace and security. Jesus spoke the words in our lesson text precisely for each of us to help us to overcome whatever is making us anxious, not just today, but every day. You know, I chose this text and this lesson for myself as much as anybody here. Many times I've felt anxious about life and things that affect me. Whatever the reason, it's a very real experience, and I don't like it, and I have to deal with it. I have to deal with it every day. So this lesson today is for me as well as for you. Recently, I read a letter on the internet about a missionary serving in Liberia. And he was very honest about some of the anxieties and struggles that he has living in a village, the Gola, with the Gola people. He said, "As I look to the future of our work here in Liberia, I feel very anxious. I wonder if the Muslims will listen to our explanations with an open heart. Will they believe? I worry about the handful of believers here. Will they change some of their ways and walk in obedience?" Language study is a continual source of anxiety, as is preparation for the Bible study and the sermons. And he went on with a bunch of others. What it points out is that missionaries get anxious, people get anxious, pastors get anxious, everybody gets anxious. We need the words from Jesus this morning to remind us that his kingship is not built on the anxiety of his people. He's made himself king over us for the very opposite purpose, namely to take away our anxiety. In my own life, the sheer statement from the Lord that he does not want me to be anxious has a great tendency to give me peace. But when you add it to the reasons he gives on why we don't need to be anxious, his words become tremendously powerful. So let's take a look this morning at some of the reasons Jesus tells us not to be anxious. Everybody can plainly see from the text this morning that the point is that disciples of Christ should not be anxious. One thing should ring in your ears when you hear this, namely, Jesus does not want you to be anxious. But that's the negative way of stating the main point of this passage. There's a positive way that's found in verse 33. Namely, instead of being anxious, seek God's kingdom first. In other words, when you think about your life, or your food, or your clothes, or your spouse, or your job, or your mission, don't fret about them. Instead, make God the king in that moment and hand over that situation to him, to his kingly power, to do his righteous will, with the confidence that he will work for you and meet all your needs. We all know why we get anxious about food and clothing. Because there are three things that can happen if we don't have food and clothing. First, we'd lose some pleasures. Food tastes good. It's pleasurable to eat. Second, we'd lose some human praise and admiring glances if we didn't have nice clothes. Third, we would lose long life if we had no food at all or weren't properly protected from the cold. So we get anxious about food and about clothing because we don't want to lose the physical pleasures or the human praise or the length of life. What was Jesus' response to that? If you are gripped by anxiety over these things, you have lost sight of the greatness of life. Life was not given primarily for physical pleasures, but for something greater, the enjoyment of God. Life was not given primarily for the approval of man, but for something greater, the approval of God. Life was not even given primarily for extension on this earth, but for something greater, eternity with God in the age to come. We ought not to be anxious about food and clothing, because food and clothing cannot provide the great things of life, the enjoyment of God, the pursuit of his gracious favor, the hope of eternity in his presence. We get anxious about food and clothing to the same degree that we lose sight of the great purposes of God-centered life. When we look at the birds, we see a lesson that's not laziness. They dig for their worms, they snatch their bugs, they pad their nest with strings and leaves. But Jesus said it is God that feeds them. What we see when we look at birds is a creature who does not act as though God is only a merciful provider for today, but won't be tomorrow. They don't hoard things away for the day of God's demise. They go about their work as though the sun comes up tomorrow and God will still be God. The biggest difference between a disciple of Christ and a bird is that we have the capacity of honoring God by our faith. God values the exercise of our faith more than he does with birds. So we ought not be anxious, because the birds have taught us that God can be counted on to work for us tomorrow just as much as today. The third reason not to be anxious is in verse 27, where it says, "And which of you, being anxious, can add one cubit to his lifespan?" It doesn't do you any good. Whatever problem is causing you to feel anxious, you can be sure that that anxiety will not lessen the problem. It will only make you more miserable while you try to deal with it. So don't be anxious about that. It's useless. The fourth reason Jesus gives is in verse 28 and 30 of our passage. This time it's about the lilies. When you look at that lily, it has no will of its own. It doesn't spin. Yet it is adorned with beautiful form and color. We have to realize one thing when we look at a lily. God must delight in adorning things. But if his delight finds expression in adorning grass, then surely his delight in adorning us must be much more. But we have some that'll protest. God hadn't adorned me. He's not adorned the poor Christians of our land or overseas. Are you sure? Very few of us were dressed like Solomon. Where have you seen a disciple of Christ who didn't have the adornment he needed to do what God called him to do? The fifth and sixth reasons are found in verse 32. We shouldn't be anxious about what we eat and drink or wear, because your heavenly Father knows you need all of them. Anxiety about things of this world puts us on the same level of the world of unbelievers. It shows that really we're very much like the world and in what makes us happy. And that shouldn't be. It also shows that we think that our Father in heaven, we think he doesn't know our needs. Or perhaps we think he doesn't have the heart of a loving father. Anxiety shows that we are too close to the world, which has nothing eternal to offer. Our loving Father in heaven knows our needs now and forever. The last reason is he tells us that when we seek the kingdom of God first, he works with us and provides all our needs. It is such a foolish thing to insist on carrying around our anxiety, our burdens, which the Lord has promised to carry for us if we put him first. God has appointed each day for its portion of pleasure and trouble. So don't misappropriate God's allotted time for tomorrow. Don't bring them forward into today. God will be God tomorrow. So remember, Jesus does not want his followers to be anxious. He does not need this to secure his kingdom, to keep us in a state of worry. On the contrary, the more central his kingship becomes in our lives, the less anxiety we will have. Jesus came, he lived, he died, and he rose from the dead in order that he might reign as king over an anxiety-free people. So today you have a choice. You can forsake all other allegiances. You can take your vow of loyalty to the King of Kings and seek first in all you do to make known his kingship over our life. This and this alone is the way to freedom from anxiety. Bow your heads with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, be with us as we struggle through this life in our faith and our hope in an eternal life with you. Help to calm our fears and worries and lead us to the eternal home that you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.